In today's news headlines, government agencies impacted by the 35-day shutdown are struggling to recover and resume operations. Furloughed workers that have missed two paychecks are likely to begin receiving back pay by the middle of next week. But federal contract workers, including low-paid workers like janitors, food service workers, and security guards, are not guaranteed back pay. It may be months or even years before all the impacts of the shutdown are undone. It was apparently federal aviation workers whose low staffing levels, leading to serious flight delays, that pressured President Donald Trump to reverse his position on the shutdown. There was additional pressure on Trump from unions representing flight attendants and pilots that had written a strongly worded letter warning that the safety of air travel was at risk, and also a threat of a general strike by the head of the flight attendants union. But the bill that Congress passed on Friday only guaranteed government funding for 3 weeks, a period that many hope will be enough time for a newly formed committee of 17 lawmakers to resolve the impasse that Democrats and Trump were at over Trump's demand for a border wall. In an interview with the Wall Street Journal on Sunday, Trump was asked how likely he thought it was that the committee would be able to come to an agreement. He replied, quote, "I personally think it's less than 50-50, but you have a lot of very good people on that board." When the interviewers asked him if he would accept anything less than the $5.7 billion he has demanded, he replied, "I doubt it. I have to do it right." White House Chief of Staff Mick Mulvaney also dimmed hopes of a positive resolution before the February 15th deadline. Here's an excerpt of his interview on CBS's Face the Nation on Sunday.
Is the president really prepared to shut down the government again in 3 weeks?
Yeah, I think he actually is. Keep in mind, he's willing to do whatever it takes to secure the border. He does take this very seriously.
But why does the president think the outcome will be different in 21 days? I mean, Democrats remained largely unified. It was Republicans in the Senate who broke ranks.
Because so many of us, as I mentioned before, so many of them had come to us and say, you know what, we think you might be right on this barrier thing, but we just cannot negotiate with you during a shutdown. We don't like the fact that a president might use a shutdown as a negotiating tool. So if you open the government up, we'll negotiate with you on good faith, in good faith on a border barrier. Now's their chance to do that.
That's White House Chief of Staff Mick Mulvaney on Sunday saying that Trump was willing to shut the government down again in 3 weeks if he didn't get what he wanted. Meanwhile, some lawmakers are making a push to outlaw government shutdowns. Republican Senator Lamar Alexander said, quote, "Shutting down the government should be as off limits in budget negotiations as chemical warfare is in real warfare." According to the New York Times, veterans of past shutdowns have come to learn that there are few, if any, winners in the end, and that closing the government has not proved effective as a negotiating strategy for those who use the government as a lever to press their case. It didn't work for Newt Gingrich in the 1990s, for Senator Ted Cruz of Texas and House conservatives in 2013, or for Senator Chuck Schumer of New York and fellow Democrats early in 2018 when they relented on a shutdown after just 3 days. Republican Senator Rob Portman reintroduced a bill to ban shutdowns this month, which has now had 18 co-sponsors. Portman has been trying to get such a bill passed for 5 years. After the news headlines, we'll speak with Chuck Collins of inequality.org on how the impact of the shutdown on federal workers has highlighted growing economic vulnerability in the U.S. We'll also discuss Elizabeth Warren's new tax plan. Senator Kamala Harris officially kicked off her presidential bid in Oakland, California on Sunday. The junior senator from California had served as the state's attorney general when she was seen as a rising star in the Democratic Party. Here are some excerpts of her Sunday night speech.
I stand before you today to announce my candidacy for President of the United States. We are here because the American dream and our American democracy are under attack and on the line like never before. When white supremacists march and murder in Charlottesville or massacre innocent worshipers in a Pittsburgh synagogue, that's not our America. When we have children in cages crying for their mothers and fathers, don't you dare call that border security. That's a human rights abuse. And that's not our America. And let's speak truth. Under this administration, America's position in the world has never been weaker. And as we embark on this campaign, I will tell you this. I am not perfect. Lord knows I am not perfect. But I will always speak with decency and moral clarity and treat all people with dignity and respect.
That's Senator Kamala Harris officially kicking off her presidential bid in Oakland, California on Sunday. Howard Schultz, the former CEO of Starbucks Corporation, has also decided to run for president. Schultz announced his bid as a, quote, centrist independent in an interview on CBS's 60 Minutes on Sunday. He was asked his views on a number of topics, including health care.
Every American deserves the right to have access to quality health care. But what the Democrats are proposing is something that is as false as the wall, and that is free health care for all, in which the country cannot afford.
That's Howard Schultz, former CEO of Starbucks, speaking on 60 Minutes on Sunday about why he should run for president. A number of Democrats howled in protest, urging Schultz to not run, saying his candidacy would split votes and help Trump win re-election. In international news, the U.S. and Afghan Taliban have made more progress on peace talks since the start of the longest war. On Monday, Mr. Zalmay Khalilzad, the U.S. envoy to Afghanistan and chief negotiator with the Taliban, said that both sides had agreed on a framework agreement that could lead to the pullout of all U.S. troops. Khalilzad said in an interview with the New York Times, quote, "The Taliban have committed, to our satisfaction, to do what is necessary that would prevent Afghanistan from ever becoming a platform for international terrorist groups or individuals." Afghan women serving in the parliament, however, fear that a U.S. departure would once more leave them at the mercy of the misogynist Taliban. Robina Hamdard with the group Afghan Women's Network said, "We don't want a peace that would make the situation worse for women's rights compared to now." And in Venezuela, where opposition leader Juan Guaido has declared himself president, democratically elected President Nicolas Maduro oversaw a military exercise on Sunday in a show of power. According to Reuters, Maduro said the display showed the world that he had the backing of the military and that Venezuela's armed forces were ready to defend the country. Maduro says Guaido is taking part in a coup directed by Trump's hardline policy advisors, who include Cold War veterans John Bolton and Elliot Abrams. And that does it for our headlines today.